Good morning. This is Jack Llewellyn. And for all the Chamber's upcoming events, you can simply go to DurangoBusiness.org. As I always say. So I've done a little role reversal. I have Eric Nyquist. Thanks for letting me grab you and say, hey, I need to interview you.
Yeah, thanks, Jack. It's good to be on this side of the table.
Is it?
It's a little different.
Do you feel like you're not in control?
I feel like I'm not in control. No buttons in front of me. But
yeah, well, you know, you have the you know how to edit. I don't. So, you know, I always tell people this is a recorder. But so I have to ask you, what has it been like being in the news department during the 416 fire?
Well, it's been very busy, to say the least, since the 416 fire started on June 1st.
Yeah.
We run two fire updates every hour in addition to our news.
Right.
And so that's 24/7 through the weekends and the week. So we're here updating that as we get updates. It's a lot of work, but, you know, it's very rewarding because mm-hmm. we're giving a lot of important information out to the community. And so that's been very rewarding.
Well, and I want to point out too, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe you are the only live news reporter in radio in Durango, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not aware of any others, okay. So I'm not sure.
You are now.
I am now, yep. And we have one other new reporter. She's part-time.
Okay.
Her name is Lainey Severson, and she got to swim, you know, it was sink or swim for her with the fire, so she learned pretty quickly. She started, I think, a week before that.
And you said, welcome to the news world. Here's what you need to do.
Exactly. Here's how we do it.
So with that, I've been monitoring the 416 Facebook page, La Plata County. What are some of the things that you have to monitor in order to keep up with? Because you got to give those updates, you know, twice an hour.
Exactly. So the two sources that you mentioned, the La Plata County Government Facebook page and the 416 Fire Facebook page, have been the best two sources mm-hmm. of information. We have some great La Plata County resources. Megan Graham, over the spokesperson, has been fantastic.
Right.
Early on, Scott Davis with Durango Fire Protection District, super responsive. Big thanks to him as well.
Right.
Those two have been great sources for information. And then as each new incident command mm-hmm. team takes over the fire, there's a new point person,
right.
so to speak, to contact. And we get a lot of press releases, a lot of emails. So, yeah, big thanks to those public information officers with our local governments and with the fires, because they're a huge help.
Oh, absolutely. So how many hours are you putting in a day?
Oh, gosh. I don't even want to count. It's, I think, so this past Saturday, the 20-whatever that mm-hmm. was, 3rd, that was, I think, my first day off in
since
May 21st.
Really?
So, yeah, we've been going for, I think it was like 33 or 34 days, something like that in a row. So it's been busy.
That's kind of like going through, you know, surviving Christmas and going into snowdown because you guys, you know, constantly are, you know, covering things for snowdown, and then Christmas is just a silly season when people are advertising. So
yeah, that's funny you mentioned that. It's reminded me a lot of the holiday season and that go kind of pace that's usual for that time of year.
Well, if you need me to talk to Ward to get you another day off, let me know. I can put in the good word for you.
All right, I might take you up on that.
So what has been the most challenging part for you personally trying to cover the 416 in the borough fire?
Sure. The most challenging part is the initial day, the initial hours, when we have listeners calling, hey, there's a plume of smoke. It looks like it's north of town, or it looks like it's west of town. And just trying to, there's so much craziness. Facebook lights up mm-hmm. and sorting the information from, you know, verifying that information and making sure it's true and getting reliable facts from people
accurate,
who are on
the
ground there. That's probably the toughest part. You know, that initial, there's a plume, it's over there. Mm-hmm. We don't know what's quite going on. We have people calling in all over the place, and it's a little bit
what's
of craziness.
Happening. Yeah,
exactly.
So you obviously, I mean, to me, I always say it's not what you know, it's who you know, but you have to have relationships that you have the secret, you know, bat phone number for a Scott Davis or for somebody that's a public information officer. And how are those relationships? And you don't, obviously, you can't abuse them.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You can't call wolf, so to speak.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But yeah, they're developed over years. As the one you mentioned, Scott Davis, he's mm-hmm. a great go-to person from Durango Fire Protection District. We had, I think, an interview with him even earlier this spring because we saw, you know, I think everybody saw
writing on the wall.
The writing on the wall. And so we had a conversation, an interview about, you know, what can people do to to take steps to prepare.
Sure.
And so you cultivate that over time.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right. Well, and then also I'm sure with Megan Graham or anybody, you know, any of the public information officers that, you know, is that, again, is that relationship. And I'm sure there's times you get a phone call that says, all right, Eric, you know, this isn't for public knowledge yet.
Right. Yeah, that happens sometimes. Yep.
But have a story ready because we're going to, you know, cancel fire or whatever it might be.
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes that comes out a little early. Or I'll call them and, you know, they have my number and they'll just be like, oh, hey, Eric, what's going on?
So, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so
what
big
are you
thanks
hearing?
To them for when I call them at like 7 a.m.
Right. So, and what's the most rewarding part?
The most rewarding part is getting that critical information out to people.
Uh-huh.
You know, we had somebody call in and say that they don't have access to the internet where they live.
Oh, sure.
And so hearing these fire updates has been critical for mm-hmm. their understanding of what's going on. We had another person call in who didn't. We've reported that those affected by the fire work-wise, if they were doing jobs up there, mm-hmm. they can apply for unemployment and different types of aid. And he didn't know that they could apply for unemployment. And
well,
he's been out of work. And so,
right.
You know, so hearing those kind of stories when people call in, and that's really helpful. That's really nice of them to do. So.
Well, and I think along that line, you might be referring to the CERT account, which is the Community Emergency Relief Fund that was set up through the Community Foundation. And then I know there's also another great website that was created in combination with the Chamber, BID, Dado, and the Alliance, and that was Southwest, so SWCODA.org, which stands for Southwest Colorado Disaster Assistance.org. And right at the top, there's a you can click to apply for SURF funding, and there's also you can click to donate.
Right.
Which they've raised, I've heard, up to $145,000 collected, another $100,000 in pledges on top of that.
Fantastic.
This community is wonderful.
Yeah.
And but anyway, it's SWCODA.org, and then you can, you know, want to help or need help,
mm-hmm.
and both of those little drop down menus are there. Now, I'll just continue on my little rant here.
Yeah, no, because that website's been a great source of information, and that's where I found a lot of stuff.
So. Well, and that's, you know, and I keep, you know, a lot of times. The chamber, we get phone calls. We're like, we're doing the same thing. We're online trying to find information and say, okay, well, it's a center hub of information. Now here's where you need to go to find out the data. Now let me ask you this. So looking ahead, I mean, what do you think? I mean, if you in your crystal ball, is this we need rain?
Yep.
So can you make that happen as a news guy?
I'll do my best. You were showing me pictures of all the waterfalls in Brazil.
I was in Brazil, I did it rain. Somebody told me maybe I should go back.
Yeah, right.
The long plane flight. There isn't any precipitation looking in the forecast, is there?
No, not that we're seeing, not that the meteorologists are reporting to us. No,
that's not good.
Oh, I know. We're going to have to do our rain dances.
Monsoons, please.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, along that line, were you here during Missionary Ridge?
Not here during Missionary Ridge.
Well, I was. Very reminiscent.
Mm-hmm.
That's similar. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And now, I'm going to completely shift gears on you.
Yeah, great.
Because, you know, under the chamber, we are Leadership of Plata.
Oh,
and you went through Leadership of Plata a couple years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, 2 years ago I did it. I did it the 2016-2017 year.
Yeah.
And then so last year I had to put on the class.
Right.
As a second year member, you put on the class.
Yeah.
So funny enough, in our class, we were the environment class and we put on a drought panel to talk about all the upcoming, you know, effects of the drought and how they affect all the different aspects. So yeah, great program. Love Leadership La Plata. I'll be a part of the retreat again this year.
Uh-huh.
Kicks off with the retreat. So,
that's right.
On that committee. So.
Am I going to have to make lasagna again?
You might have to make some lasagna.
Maybe you find something else to do. Maybe I'll just donate some money this time. You know, make it easier.
Make a delicious lasagna.
Yeah. So what was the biggest thing that you learned through Leadership La Plata? Because you're a news guy, and I would assume, Eric, that you've got the connections. What were some of the things that you learned?
Well, as we kind of talked about earlier, how important those relationships are, and cultivating those and building them. And so then when you need something, you connect your network with this person over here, and all of a sudden you have a relationship and you have kind of a foundation to sort of make progress on top of.
Sure.
That and just how many organizations that are out there in our community that are doing good, good work, and just how much the financial resources needed to support all of those organizations. That kind of blew my mind a little bit.
You know, the big eye opener for me when I went through class was La Plata Youth Services.
Oh, right.
And how their recidivism rate, you know, if you go through their program, only like 8% fall back into the judicial system.
Wow.
They really turn those young people's lives around. And I had no idea that that program even existed.
Yeah, it's incredible. Leadership La Plata is such a great organization for finding stuff that you never knew was in our community, or maybe something that you've heard about but never really took the time to think about or look into. And it gives you that opportunity. Like, as a news director here, I get to interview a lot of different people from different facets of the community. And still, every class, there was stuff that, like, was completely new to me.
Some aha moments.
A lot of aha moments.
Yeah. Well, and along that line, so as an LOP grad, I know coming up on July 13th up at Music in the Mountains, and this is the 30th year for Music in the Mountains, or for Music in the Mountains, for Leadership La Plata. 30 years we've been celebrating Leadership La Plata, and we actually, on the 13th of July, are going to have a celebration of that up at Music in the Mountains.
Oh, no kidding.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
And you heard it here first, Eric.
Yeah, I heard it here first. Yeah, giving me my news, Jack Llewellyn. So, but it's cool that Music in the Mountains is still happening.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I know Angie scrambled a little bit to try and, you know, get the tents put up, because they, you know, had to furlough people and then lay some people off up at Purgatory. She was telling me over a couple weekends ago that she had to hire a crew from Albuquerque to put the tent up.
Wow.
Because, and I'm like, you know, people are like, well, can't you get volunteers to do that? I said, you don't want that liability on volunteers.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, put your calendar, mark your calendar for, I think it's 5 p.m. on the 13th up at Music in the Mountains. And then there's it's like $10 or something like that. But then you get a grass pass, set outside, listen to the music. So you're invited now.
I'm invited officially now.
And get Lindsay to show.
I'll get her to show up too. It's so great that Leadership La Plata has all these different events for alumni and stuff, all different ways to plug into the community.
Yeah. Well, and so if you had to give your elevator speech as to why someone should apply for Leadership La Plata, what would it be?
It would be exactly sort of what I, the phrase I just used, plug into the community.
Yeah.
I love that, how Leadership La Plata did that.
Right.
It's a great way to meet people from all different facets of the community and just sort of find your niche to plug in and connect.
Now I want to ask you, going back to, you know, we're going to switch gears on you again.
Sure,
put on your news hat.
Yep,
I'm bouncing, you know, trying to watch the timing. So if somebody wants to get into your line of work, what do you recommend?
What I would recommend is, well, definitely going to school.
Sure.
And I had a history degree.
Okay.
You don't necessarily need a journalism degree.
Uh-huh.
Our other reporter has an English degree.
Right.
But have a good sense of the local community. We report, you know, mostly local news. And so having a good sense of what's happening around here locally is a good first step. And also being able to view issues from multiple angles and have empathy for each side, I think, is another key component.
So I want to ask you, so how is it, you got 30 seconds to answer this, but that you don't put your own bias in? That's got to be difficult in this day and age.
I think everybody has their own bias, and so it's almost impossible to not put a little bit of it in. But it's, again, just having empathy for each side, and really just sticking to the facts as much as possible.
It's like Sergeant Friday.
What's that? Sergeant Friday.
From Dragnet.
Yep,
the
exactly.
Facts, Eric. Nothing just but the facts.
Just the facts. Love Dragnet. just the facts. Sticking to the facts.
Yeah.
And again, having empathy and trying to have that holistic approach to
it. Now, if somebody ever does have a story that they'd like to get covered, what do you recommend they do?
Email me at news@radiodurango.com. You can send me a press release, the who, what, where, when, why, how of the issue. And then public service announcements. If you have a nonprofit, it's a 501c3, send us a PSA at psa@radiodurango.com, and we will make sure the community hears about it.
And then you can hopefully get some publicity for them.
Exactly.
Well, thank you for letting me interview you. Yeah, you did good.
Oh, thank you.
You've done this radio thing once or twice.
I've spoken on the microphone once or twice. So, yeah, thank you, Jack, for all that you guys do. And, you know, big thanks to my Four Corners Broadcasting family for, you know, all their support as well. Right. So big thanks to them.
Yeah, well, and a shout out to congrats on the 2017 Small Business of the Year Award.
Yeah, thank you. We were very honored to have that. That's very humbling.
Well, You guys do good work. Yeah, all right, I'm going to let you off the hook. We got to send it back to the studios. You've been listening to Chamber Chat. And for the Chamber's updated information, go to DurangoBusiness.org. And Eric, thanks for everything you do.
Thanks very much, Jack.
Back to the studios.